Nevertheless, we shall now proceed to labor the point with...
The history of communication!
Man's first communication with man was made, naturally enough, through the medium of the human voice. For instance...
Hi, Frank.
Hello.
But this was only... only practicable at close quarters. For long-distance communications, man developed this method. Centuries pass, and then...
Hello!
The first important method of communication over long distances was the runner.
The most famous of these messengers was the Greek Gunnicus, who ran 300 miles to Athens, bringing news of a great victory.
I come from the great warlord, Arnold Princeopolis. 300 leagues have I run over the Ionicus, down the plains of Olympus, through the snowy wastes of Sabina, across the arid deserts of Xerxes, and I did swim the boiling waters of the Hellespont, and over...
Yes,
the...
yes, put the message.
Oh, hold on, I'll lift back and get it.
In the 19th century came the innovation of the first penny post, thus, after nearly 2,000 years, finally dispensing with the runner.
About time, too.
The first stamps issued for the penny post were only very weakly adhesive, and so a new issue was made.
Letter for you, Di.
Thank you. Hey, looks like this new glue is too strong.
Why, boy?
There's somebody's tongue underneath the stamp.
At first, the average Briton did not take to the penny post, as it was very infrequent.
Oh, dear. I haven't heard a word since John left.
Why not?
He took my ear trumpet.
But after a time, the post became universal, and deliveries were made to the most outlandish spots.
Such a place was the lonely Isle of Lurgi, where only one family lived. To reach their house, the postman had to row 3 miles across the Straits of Lurgi, then proceed on muleback up the rugged mountainside, and finally tramp for 8 miles across the plateau until...
Mrs. June?
Yes?
Nothing for you today.
Thank you.
A few years later came the parcel post, and for the first time, people were able to send appropriate gifts to loved ones far away.
Yes?
Parcel for you, Mrs. Smith, from your son-in-law.
From him? Parcel? That's good for nothing. I wonder what he sent me.
And somewhere in London, an unknown man is seated in a tiny workshop. Before him on the table, almost completed, is the greatest invention of them all, the wireless set. He looks up, weary and haggard, as his wife comes in.
Darling, you'll kill yourself working like this.
I must go on. Huh? Don't you understand?
What?
I feel I'm nearly there. Wireless. That's what I call it. Wireless. Yes, wireless. Oh, if only I could unravel the secret of the battle coil balance.
Thousands of miles away, you merely lift up your phone and say... Introducing Max Gildray.
Thank you.
goons have felt for some time that these programs lack color and...
Yeah?
Lack color and drama. And so tonight we present our idea of how education should be handled on the air under the title For the Ghouls. The subject this week is history. The time, 1884, place, the Sudan. The story, the siege of Khartoum. But let us hear this stirring tale in the words of that immortal poet and tragedian, William McGonagall.
Answer me. T'was in the year 1884, and in the month of June, that Major Bloodnock and his gallant men were besieged in Khartoum. Besieged by the Mahdi's savage men, they formed a thin red line. But the Mahdi did not care at all, for he was Mahdi fine. And when the news reached England, the news of this tragic thing, in Parliament, Mr. Gladstone called an emergency meeting. And
please. Honorable members, please. Now, are we all here? Conservative?
Yes.
Socialist? Where's the Liberal Party?
He'll be back in a minute.
Right. Now, gentlemen, the position is serious. Australia is being overrun with rabbits. Every year, the rabbits increase by millions.
Well, they've only got themselves to blame.
Quite. But that does not alter the fact that we must get rid of these rabbits.
What about poor Major Bloodnock in Khartoum, eh?
Madam, he is perfectly safe.
Major Poobah, yeah.
He is perfectly safe. There are no rabbits in Khartoum.
I don't think you know that.
But Australia is overrun with them.
I have an idea, my captain. Separating the males from the females.
We tried that, but we had thousands of complaints.
Who from?
The rabbits.
Did not know that rabbits could write.
They can't. They dictated them to the kangaroos.
I see, yes. Finish his speech, sits down next to Lady Well in boxing gloves, turns out to be Lady Esther.
Yes, now. Any questions?
What about Major Bloodnock in Khartoum?
Madam, kindly do not waste the time of this house with trivial matters when we have important business to discuss.
Boo.
Now, about these rabbits in Australia, I think we should...
Yes, Gladstone spoke of rabbits. While in a distant land, poor Bloodnock was surrounded by a savage Arab band. And oh, how the battle did rage.
And a dash of soda.
At once, sir.
Thank you.
Here we are.
What?
How's the battle going, Major Bloodnock?
How should I know? I've been hiding in this cupboard since it started.
I know, sir. Some of the officers are saying you're a coward.
Which ones?
The ones hiding under the bed.
What? Me a coward? You see these medals, lad?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what I got them for?
No, sir. What?
10 bob the lot. I'm no coward.
Then why are you hiding in the cupboard, sir?
Why? Because there's no room under the bed, that's why. I can't say things like that about me. Me, Major Bloodnock, M.C.
M.C.? I didn't know you were an M.C., sir. Of
course I am. Listen. Take your partners for a slow box.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Blast these mosquitoes. You hear me? Carstairs, blast those mosquitoes. Blast them.
Right, sir. Mosquitoes blasted, sir.
Splendid.
Major Bloodnock. Major Bloodnock.
Great Scott. It's Captain Burke's nail of the third athlete's foot.
nail of the third athlete's foot?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it get in the way?
Listen, Spurs. I've run all the way from Fort Atababa. And
you,
I've come
you,
back...
You poor fellow.
Yes, I know, sir.
You must be absolutely all in.
I am, sir.
Here, lad, drink this.
Oh. Thank you, sir.
Here, try a leg of this chicken.
Thanks.
Now, swill it down with this coffee, lad.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, good night, sir.
I say, wait a minute. Haven't you forgotten something?
No, sir, I left it under the place.
Oh. I say, have a look, will you, Carstairs?
Yes, sir. Oh, it's an envelope. And there's a message inside.
A message inside?
Yes, sir.
Curse it, and I don't speak a word of side.
Major Bloodlock, sir.
Yes, Sergeant Docker.
There's a wireless message coming through from England, sir.
Quick, take it down, man.
Right, sir. I say, sir, this is marvelous. News from England after all these years.
Yes, yes. At last we'll know about the relief column. Well, have you got it, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Well, read it out, man.
Right, sir. Arsenal 1, Sunderland 4.
Football results at a time like this. I shall report this to Her Majesty Queen Victoria.
Yes, sir.
Signaler, send this message.
Yes, sir.
Your Majesty.
Yes, Lord Palmerston.
This news has just been received from Major Bloodnock.
Pray read it.
Arsenal 9, Sunderland 14.
Herbert?
Yes, Anna?
Check your pool.
Yes, Anna.
Is there anything else, Lord Palmerston?
Yes, ma'am. This.
Kiss me again. Oh, kiss me again. Please hold me, my darling, and kiss me again. I'm sailing away, but what can I say? Please hold me, my darling, and kiss me again. For a while, we must part. But I leave you my love and my heart, darling. Kiss me again. Kiss me then. Be true till I'm home. When you'll kiss me, hold me, sweetheart. Kiss me. It's marvelous. Awful nice. You should care for me. It's awful nice. Paradise. What I love to see. If you made my life so glamorous, you can't blame me for being amorous. It's wonderful. It's marvelous that you should care for me. It's wonderful, marvelous, glamorous, and amorous that you should care for me. Ooh, it's overnight paradise, overnight paradise, that's what I love to see. Ooh, you've made my life so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Amorous is wonderful. Ooh, it's marvelous that you should care for. It's a wonderful, marvelous, amorous that you should care for me.
That was the Railington Quartet. The part of Railington was played by Herbert Wilcox, who is now appearing in Anna Neagle Has Two Heads. We now continue with our educational documentary, The Siege of Khartoum.
But the situation in Khartoum was getting very grave, and it was essential to send out a relief force. Bloodnock's men fought to save. And realizing that something was very much amiss, Field Marshal McNaffy called a conference in the Whitehall War Office and...
Now, gentlemen, are all the senior army officers here?
Yes, sir.
Blend it. Now, Lieutenant Churchill, for the last time, put that cigar out.
What did you get?
How many times must I tell you? Oh, I see. Twice. Now to business. The situation in Khartoum is grave. Badnock's force is completely besieged, and we must send out a relief force immediately. And I have here the ideal man to lead this force. Mr. Crumb! Mr. Crumb, would you sit down?
Yes, take a seat, Mr. Crumb.
Now, Mr. Crumb, are you familiar with camel transport and desert warfare?
And the anti-tank precautions for the marching Norton telegraphing gun?
And also the tactics in the Department of Infantry in open and siege warfare?
And close combat.
And infiltration?
Rather stand up, thank you.
Really, now, any questions?
Yes.
What?
What about the rabbit in Australia?
Please, madam.
I don't think I can.
I don't wish to know that.
I neither do I.
No, Mr. Crumb. Have you ever worked for the government before?
Yes. You know the Royal Mint?
Yes.
Well, I used to grow it.
Yes, thank you. I see. And have you had any experience of life in the tropics?
Oh, yes, I have. I used to be a forestry commissioner in North Africa. I chopped down every tree in the Sahara forest.
You mean the Sahara Desert?
Ah, that's what they call it now.
Have you any idea, Mr. Crumb, what stores you'll need for this operation?
Yes, I've brought a list of the stores we shall need.
Oh, landed. Would you care to read them out, all?
Yes, I'll read them out now.
Good.
Have you got the pencil?
Yes.
Right. 2,000 pairs of purple creosote bathroom socks. With reinforced concrete knees and secret sliding panels.
Absolutely vital.
One octogenarian fruit dancer. 12 trained Moldavian nut lions.
Yes.
One slightly soiled film test of Raymond Navarro.
A must.
Paul Adams.
Yes.
One life-size statue of Jane Russell made of jelly. Inscribed, it must be jelly, because Jane don't shake like that.
Mr. Crumb, you're a genius.
I'm a genius, Mr.
The relief force set sail tomorrow.
Ooh, and sail they did the next day. And now Major Bloodnock had no fears, for Crumb was marching to the rescue with the 3rd Filthmack Whitechapel Fusilier.
We're approaching the big river.
Approaching a river?
Yes. You'd better give the order to halt.
Yes, all right. Just a minute. Company.
Major Bloodnock fought like a tiger, like the true British officer he was.
Marilyn Monroe, come back to me, dear. Where are you? Gone? What? Who is this? Who is this?
It's me.
And who are you?
I'm the intelligence officer. I got a message for the major.
A message? Oh, well, let's slide it under the door.
Okay, but it ain't gonna be easy.
Why not?
It's in my head.
Oh, all right then, come in.
Right, there it is.
Now, let me have a look at this. Enemy shelling increasing? Oh, yes, I don't think this old fort is going to stand much more shelling, you know.
You're dead right. Look at those nasty cracks on the wall.
Nasty? Carstairs?
Huh?
Who wrote those nasty cracks on the wall?
I did, sir.
You did? Well, wrap them up at once. Now we must find out whether the Mahdi intends to attack or not. Have you found out anything from the Arabs in the town here?
Well, sir, last night I questioned the chief daughter of a Fulard.
Did she talk?
I hope not.
Lot of use that was. Eccles, I hope you did better.
Oh, yeah. I questioned her for 25 hours.
What? So you know her as well.
I was having a good time. You know what she said?
What?
She said, I bring out the maternal instinct in her.
The maternal instinct?
Yep, I remind her of her mother.
Eccles, you're a stupid, ignorant idiot.
Well, I say this.
What?
I don't say much, but what I do say don't make sense.
Major!
Came away.
Major, we may be able to get some news on the wireless.
Splendid idea. Where's my batman? Ellington?
Yes, Major?
This is your batman, sir?
Yes. Why?
But he's not English.
Not English? Of course he is. I say, Ellington, you are English, aren't you?
No, Major.
Then what are you?
I'm a white Russian.
Well, you certainly had me fooled. I don't mind telling you. The last round? Why?
It's closing time.
In that case, I go... Who are you, sir?
Me, I am the Mahdi himself. Bloodnock, your time has come. And remember, I am a prophet.
You're a dead loss.
I challenge you to a duel. Swords or pistols?
What? Neither swords nor pistols. I am an Englishman, sir. And I choose the weapons of my country.
Name them.
Conquers.
Conquers? I, the great Mahdi, would never descend to the level of fighting with conquers.
You refuse?
Yes.
You coward, you. Mahdi, we must settle this like men. I ask you to step outside.
All right.
Quick, now he's outside. Bolt the door.
Okay.
That got rid of him. Oh, I'd like to get my hands on one of those Arabs.
Which one, sir?
Chief's daughter. She's a smashy bit of stuff.
How can you think of women in times of danger?
You find out for yourself. Took me years of study. I don't care what I say. Now it's time this relief column was getting near. What's all that?
It's the relief column. We're favored.
What? Well, let's get outside.
Quiet, all you men, and stand to attention. Mr. Crum, the leader of the relieving troops, has brought us a special message from Her Majesty the Queen. Quiet, then. Silence for Mr. Crum, who will now read the message.
Arsenal 1, Sunderland 4.
That was The Goon Show, a recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Spike Milligan, with the Red Engine Quartet and Max Geldray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens, announcer Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Peter Eaton.